B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Chara pounds it out. Center circle of Chara barrels in. Cuts down the slot looking for a puck. It squirts to the far side with nine. Far circle Bergeron. He scores! Can you believe that? With 6.7 seconds remaining, Patrice Bergeron gets to a loose puck just inside the far circle and rifles one by Roberto Luongo. Bruins 4, Panthers 3.
All right, Bruins win again. Point streak continues. Are you enjoying it?
Suck on that puck.
Having fun?
That's a beauty.
All the way back to January. I'm sorry?
That was a beauty.
Yeah, it was.
That one.
Yep, sure was.
That one stuck on a stick a little, and he waited, and he saw it. The puck never moved. I mean, it stayed flat. Laser. Freaking laser. That one got me going.
It's this team is ridiculous.
Zoe's finally ready to start watching other sports.
It takes me a while. I get the shakes. I'm very invested in football, as you know.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And when you go on a deep playoff run and then just the post stuff, and then it ends. What do I do now? Okay, because let's face it. When the Patriots are hot, it gets all your attention, right? There's been a lot of drama with the Celtics. And drama carries sports radio, and people want to talk about it because it's an issue. Because you got a diva superstar, Kyrie Irving, and then you got a team that just keeps plugging, and it's the same guy. And this guy, my kid went to school today with a 37 jersey on. I actually got goosebumps on the winner, on the game winner with 4 seconds left. I'm ready. Starting the transfers begin.
Okay, all right.
I'm good.
Now you're ready for another sport.
Y'all bitching to me on Twitter. Why don't you talk hockey, your flagship station? Let's go. Here it is, 617. What's the number? 617-779-0985.
There you go.
It's that simple.
Strong start. What I would say about the Bruins last night. It just proves once again that when this point streak can end, they care about it. And they care about the streak. They do. They care about keeping it going. They could have easily, in either of the last two games, said, F it. You know, it's all right. We'll get them tomorrow.
Tired of talking about it.
Get the next team.
Okay.
Right?
Break the seal.
We're doing okay, right? Losing ground. They're not any of those things. They're not in trouble here. It's okay. You know, can't win every single one. Can't get points every single night. They care about it. They do. And that speaks to who they are. They fight, they claw, they give a crap.
I'll call you one better, Beatle.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's about the point streak. They want the win. They had the point last night.
Sure.
You know? It was in a little bit of danger. That last the last faceoff came into their own end, and they had to clear it out. What did they do? Did they go down there and play for overtime in an effort to just keep that point streak alive? No. They pushed. They pushed on that final possession, and Achari pushed it down there.
I mean, Artie, they were losing in the final minute of the game here last night. Or 3 minutes of the game, I should say. Final 3-plus minutes
just,
of the game,
if
they're
were,
down.
If it were just about the point streak, they would have been content to take that thing into overtime and see what happens and get their point.
All right,
and
this to me speaks to the third goal, not the fourth goal.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Third goal, if they had scored the third goal under Claude, would they have played for the win or played for overtime?
It's a nice shirt you have on.
You too.
Thanks.
I'm talking about the reasoning behind scoring the third goal, not what happens after they score the third goal.
I was talking to Hardy's men saying the mentality after tying it to go for the win instead of just go for overtime.
Either way, you have nothing to lose by going for the win. When did they ever just not go for a win?
Well, no. But what he's saying, I think you could pull up at the end and say, okay,
exactly.
We got it tied up.
I think that's a different philosophical discussion about how the game is played under Claude versus how it's played under current coach Bruce Cassidy.
But I think it's played by the player, though. Like, Marshawn Hussles gets in the corner. It's like, and he and Bergeron have eyes in the back of their heads with each other. And for him to dig that out, to set him up that way, like, is that on Cassidy? I think that's on the player.
So, yeah. Tuukka Rask said this last night. It's in Kevin Paul DuPont's column this morning. It's in our DNA now that we just don't give up. We go about our business and we just battle to the end. And I think he's right. I think he's accurately describing what this team does. They battle to the very end. Kevin Paul DuPont writes today in a glowing column about the Bruins. I mean, just glowing.
That's brave.
They are one part Patriots. He writes, they are one part Patriots. They are another part Red Sox. They are decidedly no part the current 12-car train wreck that is the Celtics. Ooh. That's Kevin Paul DuPont this morning in the Globe. And as I read that this morning, I thought this. You know what? They do have a little bit of that Red Sox thing in them. The Red Sox had a ton of success in the regular season last year.
Yeah.
108 wins.
No, but coming back,
looked like they cared.
They never gave up.
Do you know what I would like to compare them to with the Red Sox at this point in the regular season to where the Red Sox were in the regular season? Okay. Prove it to me in the playoffs. Prove it in the playoffs. And this is not some Jones take of I don't enjoy it in the moment, okay, because I am. Relax. This is a ton of fun, right? Yeah. Watching the Bruins night in, night out is a joyful experience right now. It just is. Even when they trail to bad teams like Florida, they made it exciting at the end and they get a win.
Place was lit.
Okay.
At the end.
You go back two nights, another exciting win. Again, maybe against inferior competition. But anyway, the fact is, this has not translated. You know, there's a lot of talk of the it and the magic and the special thing. I said that about this team a year ago. I said they got that it factor. There's something about the team where they got the it factor that gives me some faith in them. I'm not falling for that again. I'm not going to do that again. You got to prove it in the playoffs. You have to have this carryover.
I agree with that.
But this is going to sour this thing if they don't carry it over into the playoffs.
There's something with the young kids, too. There's an awareness with them. You know, just spacing, being around the net, playing through injuries, you know, being available, being accountable, and getting quality time and responding. And then it's, you know, to the Patriot comparison, guy at the end of the game, final two-minute drive, you want the ball in Brady's hands. You want the puck in Bergeron's stick. You want Marchand to have it. You want your closers to have those. That's your closer. You know, so that I could see that comparison. And Red Sox fought hard all last year, you know, late in games when they were down, getting it to extra innings. How many extra inning games? Those 18 inning games of 4-hour games. And they just kept fighting and fighting. And the Bruins won't go away. And the fact Tuukka said that, you go back to when Tuukka was having his issues earlier in the year, seems like there was a detachment there. You know, you sort of get, you know, the same type. Yeah, well, it's about all of us, you know, blah, blah, blah. But like, he's feeling it now. And if that guy's feeling it, and Lock gives it to you, and these goalies stay hot. I don't want to do your too hot thing, but at some point this has got to end, right? Do you want him to go on? Do you want him to have this streak rolling right up into the playoffs?
I'm not of the mindset where prove it to me in the playoffs. Not yet.
Not yet.
I'm fully just accepting what's happening right now.
No, but I think that exists independent of the streak itself too.
Well, independent of
I just
everything.
Think that pressure is going to get more and more. The more they win here in the regular season, the more pressure will be on them come playoff
time.
Do you
have any doubt right now that they are going to show up in the playoffs?
No, they will. At least around.
I believe that they will show up in the playoffs.
And that's all you can ask for. They could be outclassed by the Lightning in a 7-game series. And some of the guys who are scoring goals right now, you don't expect Bergeron to be an elite goal scorer in the postseason. You know, it's nice to see him do what he did last night, see what he's done all season. But you don't necessarily expect that. I don't even know if it's reasonable to expect the same type of productivity out of Jake DeBrusk, you know, for extended periods into this postseason. For seasons to come,
well, then,
sure. But
given the number of one-goal games in this streak, if you think they're that good, don't you need all those guys to perform the same way
right.
come playoff time?
Yes, yeah. But...
Okay, so then there is some little bit of doubt.
No, there's no doubt.
There's no doubt in your mind.
About them showing up.
Okay, showing up. How about producing? Let's put it that way. Do you have any doubts about them producing come playoff time?
No, but I think a lot of these one-goal games could go the other way, and I'm not saying that in order for them to continue what they've been doing and for me to not taking anything away from them, they have to go all the way to the cup final or even the Eastern Conference final. They could easily come up against a team where, you know, some of these one goal games turn the other way at the very end by no specific fault of anybody other than going back to that road trip, Beetle, where what they went 4-0-1, I think, or 4-1 on that 5-game Western road trip. You know, the one that's when the part of the streak was going right there. There's one goal games back then. You know, we're getting overtime and last second wins right now. These could easily hinge the other way. And if they did, would you say, they blew it? They choked. I wouldn't say that. As long as they continue to play at the level they're at right now, I have no reason to believe they won't. I have no reason to believe they're not going to bring the same intensity and the same fight right now into the playoffs.
That's going to be the problem. They stay completely hot the way they've been playing. You lose a couple games here or there. But right now, they got what? Second best record in hockey. That's when the pressure starts. That's when, okay, now you talk about playoff expectations and deep runs. That's where it starts to get pressurized. Right now, I don't think the pressure's there. You're enjoying the moment. They keep this thing rolling. Pressure's coming with it. Let's see how they react. That'll be fun.
Yeah, I mean, I just know that they had stretches last year where they were really good. They had good wins last year.
Like this, though?
Along the way. I mean, they finished second in their division last year. They had 112 points. They're tracking to be in that department again. What's going to be different this time around is my only question. I think they're a better team now than they were a year ago. I think their goalie's playing better now than he was a year ago. I think their backup goalie situation is probably better than it was a year ago based on the way Halak has played. So they've got things working in their favor. But the part about showing up is different from producing. I think all the elements they've had of guys who have produced along the way during this stretch are going to have to continue to do it. So I'm curious to know what everyone's level of faith is if that's going to be the case.
Doing it without Pastrnak.
And in the meantime, this is fun. I'm not going to take that away from them. This is awesome. Night in, night out, you're seeing something exciting with this team.
Balls.
Yeah. And the level of giving a crap from this team is off the charts. They fight like hell. They play for one another. It's a real team. You can feel that. You can see that. It comes through when you watch them play. It comes through when they're done playing the game. When you see them on the ice together, you just see something. There's definitely a chemistry with this team. But beyond that, there's a level of fight and character with this team that is quite admirable.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I'm not really superstitious. I have started the same. I think during this whole streak, or most of it, Achari, sort of that line has started. I apologize to Charlie Coyle's first game here back in Boston. I told him I can't mess with the streak, but that was like 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, that typically you'd want to start a guy in his hometown. But we'll start him in Minnesota, whether we have a streak or not. We'll give him that. We'll give it back to him. But other than that, nope. Just, you know, go to work and enjoy it.
.617-779-0985 Bruins head coach Bruce Cassidy. By the way, Bruins caught a break yesterday with the Marcus Johansson injury. Are we going with Johansson or Johansson?
Johansson.
It's Johansson.
It's Johansson, but his nickname's JoJo.
Why am I hearing everyone say Johansson? Because of the nickname?
Yeah, probably.
All right, whatever.
Anyway. If you're close to the team, if you're there every day, you know, whatever. Maybe you're a grinder.
All right, they caught a break with him. That injury is a bruise? Yeah. He bruised his lung? I mean, that can't feel good. That probably hurts like hell, but...
I did that falling off a skateboard.
That's something that can heal before the playoffs begin.
Johansson.
So it is Johansson. Yeah. He wants it said Johansson? All right, fine. Johansson it is.
We can go with the nickname for Marcus Johansson's Johansson, which is Majo or Mayo. M-A-J-O. That's what I'm going with.
No, it's JoJo.
Mayo.
Krug told us it was JoJo.
Oh, my God. Listen, they caught a break with his injury. That could have been bad news. It wasn't.
Mayo.
I mean, it's not good, but it could have been a lot worse.
Freaking Swedes.
Which means what?
They just changed their names. Like, it's Johansson. Marcus Johansson. But his nickname's JoJo.
Mayo.
Mayo.
Sure, whatever.
Mayo.
Yeah.
Who's that was Will Ferrell in Get Hard.
Who's the punter? Boyokas.
Ahoykus. Ahoykus.
Booted a mile. He just had a little issue with the accuracy.
You could really dress it up if you do the TH sound for the Z at the end. Boyoke.
Get out of here.
617-779-0985. That TH thing. I had a Spanish teacher in high school that did that.
What is that?
I'm like 5 years into taking Spanish, and I'm like, I've never heard anyone talk like this
because
before.
He was Jose Maria Olazabal for years until someone, actually, it's Olazabal. And then it became, you know, for golfers, Jimenez. We had to start saying Jimenez. I'm like, I sound like a jackass.
Like, I feel like a jerk
saying
that.
Not saying it. Jimenez.
Scott's in Fall River. Hey, Scott.
Hey, hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey,
first time, long time on the show.
Thank you.
But I couldn't help but think I completely agree with you. What a game last night. I mean, I got goosebumps after that last goal. Couldn't help but think how much it reminded me of the game against Toronto in the playoffs when we came back from two down and scored with nothing net. I'll take your thoughts on that, and I'll listen to you guys.
Hey, what you're doing?
Okay.
You know, I came in here yesterday after the Celtics won at the buzzer. I need more of these.
I'm not doing that. I'm not taking away from the win the way you took away from the Celtics win yesterday.
I didn't take away from the win.
Sure you did.
I said it's a good win.
You're completely unimpressed with whatever they did.
We had a bunch of veterans playing against a bunch of kids.
You absolutely did not say it was a good win. You said, oh, they beat a bunch of kids.
They should have won. They should have won that game by 15.
Well, you could say the same exact thing about the Bruins last night, but I'm not saying that. I'm not doing that to them.
Okay, all right.
And I wouldn't say it was a great game. I'd say it was a great finish.
Yeah.
Great finish, which speaks to who they are. They're a team that finishes. That's what they are.
You thought they were going to get thumped last night once they got down. I'm like, oh, this is it.
Dave is in Marblehead. Hi, Dave.
How you doing? Happy Friday, guys.
What's up?
Same to you.
Hey, all right. Love the Boston Hockey Talk. Bruins are my favorite team and looking forward to a good playoff run. But the real issue is that the NHL morons in the front office with their playoff seeding, in the second round, the second best team is going to play the first best team, which is silly. So, you know, they can. I don't think you can blame them if they lose in the second round and they got to play Tampa. It's just not fair. It's a terrible seeding system the NHL's got. So, like to hear your thoughts on
that.
So,
you've got them losing to Tampa if they have to play Tampa in the second round.
Yeah, I think in seven. I think Tampa this year has got a little extra. It's going to be close. It's going to be a great series. But, yeah, I think they're loaded up this year, Tampa is. And, you know, I think it's a good series.
No, they're ridiculous.
But if you got to face them, why not face them early? Get it out of the way. Because if you pop them, thing's yours, man. Then you go on a run.
Are you going to be disappointed if they lose in the second round because it's Tampa, though?
I'll be disappointed if they lose in five games again.
Yeah.
I guess it's how they lose, but...
Yeah, if you take it to seven, I think that's a little different, is it not? How they lose and how they go about that series matters. If you lose four straight games like they did last season,
right,
and they're quickly exiting
right
in that series because they just couldn't at all really keep up, well then, no, I'm not going to feel good about that because they lost to the Lightning.
That's why you feel good about the goal
is to get better every year.
Yeah. That's why you feel good about the Celtics last year. They took it seven. You know, you were in a deciding game. You win that game, you're going to the damn finals. If they would have got swept in four or losing five, same thing.
Yeah. But if they lose in five and three of the games are in overtime, there's scenario. Well, it just depends on how they play,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
It's not the number of games, it's how they play.
Sure.
And who you have available. Right.
I don't know. Five is... There's a reason why you lose. I mean, you can't give all the credit in the world during this streak. Which, again, they deserve the credit. I'll keep saying that today. That you can't give all this credit for overtime wins and one-goal wins and then discredit them when it's you on the losing end of them. That's not how it works. Overtime's a part of the game. Overtime's a part of the game in the playoffs. You come up on the losing end of it, that all of a sudden you don't get, you know, bonus points, brownie points for taking it to overtime, yet getting taken out in four or five games.
All right. So to me, it doesn't matter. To you, it matters.
I think it's the number of games in the series that really matters. Wins matter. Scoreboard at the end of the game matters. So, yeah, if they lose in the second round, if they go six or seven games, I think I'll feel differently if it's fewer than that. That's what I would say about it. And by the way, the NHL system does suck. The standings suck. They're confusing. You have to look at it six times before you figure. I can't stand the way the NHL does it. I hate it. I'm not a fan.
The theory behind them going back to the system made sense to create rivalries within the division again. But I don't think it's done that. I don't feel it's done it at all.
No.
I don't feel it's created any new rivalries.
Like, it's supposed to go back to the old days of when the Bruins had to get out of the Adams division and all that.
Montreal.
But it's not the same. It's just not the same now.
I don't know what good it's doing. Let's go to Mark. He's in Georgetown. Hey, Mark.
What's happening, guys? What's going on?
What's up, Mark?
Hey, so obviously it's been a great week. I mean, like, they've been killing it. That Carolina game, fought back. That hit by Ferland, by the way, even though it was on Johansson, it was on our team. Beautiful. You can't write it up. I'd rather see a guy get hit like that than, you know, and unfortunately got hurt, but is what it is. The other thing is, as far as Tampa Bay goes in the playoffs, I think, what did you guys say? If we if the season ended today, that's who we draw, right? In the second round?
Second. Well, if they advance, right? Advance. Yeah.
Right, okay, right. So, but honestly, guys, I don't care how it seems like Tampa Bay is one of those teams. I don't care if they have Crosby, Malkin, and Stamkos on the first line. I think the Bruins own that. Aside of last year, I know we like, you know, there has to be that one time where they get you. I think we own Tampa Bay up and historically, and I don't know what it is about the makeup of the Bruins and the makeup of the Lightning. I just don't think Tampa Bay is tough enough to ever, like, really win, like, a go out and win a cup and grind out a cup for those 24 games and 16 wins. I just don't think they're built like that. I really don't. I don't know what it is. They have great goal. They have everything you could possibly want in a hockey team. Scoring, speed, goaltending. They're great on D. But for some reason, they just don't scare me. I don't know why. I've never had worried about the Bruins playing Tampa Bay. I don't know. Let's keep it rolling, though, boys. Thank you.
Okay.
What announcing group was that? Hey, Bonesy. We got to cancel our was that wasn't Tampa.
Oh, no.
Damn it.
Toronto.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right, because Espo's down in Tampa, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Bonesy.
Bonesy.
No, it's Toronto, dude. Josh is in the car. Josh.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
What's up?
All right, so, Beto, you're kind of poo-pooing last night's win when the Bruins are playing without three of their top six forwards, arguably.
Okay. Who? Three of the top six?
So Pastrnak.
DeBrusk didn't play last night.
Right.
Johansson didn't play last night. You're forgetting Pastrnak's still out.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Johansson.
That's some high scoring. That's a lot of the Bruins' secondary scoring other than the Marchand Bergeron line.
Okay. How, I don't know how I'm poo-pooing it, though.
Just kind of taking it late.
I don't, I'm not, I'm not feeling your fired up energy here right now. You know about him.
That's I'm not fired up enough. Is that what it is?
I think so. Yeah. Jim?
What do you want me to be? What do you want me to say?
I don't know.
It was a great win.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Great finish.
We need to go to game. I think the show needs to go.
So without those players, are they still better than the Florida Panthers? I'm just checking. I just wanted to see where they're at. Are they still better than the Panthers?
This is my point the other night with the Celtics.
Being honest.
Should roll them. Yeah.
I mean, you could cry about missing those players due to injury. I mean, Johansson's been here for like 6 days, and you're crying about not having him on the ice last night?
Last name Hansen, first name Joe? Joe Hansen?
Yeah. You didn't poo-poo the win. You just reminded people that, hey,
that we've been in this spot before.
It means nothing.
Yeah, that it doesn't, it's not going to, we don't know that it's going to translate. That's all. We don't know that it's going to translate. And I was reminded of this while reading. If you want someone who's really excited and really over the top, go read Kevin Paul DuPont today. That's your feel good. The Bruins are great. Yippee. Get out the pom-poms column that you can read today. I would suggest you go read that. Boston Globe.
He probably had to change his pants last night.
The hockey guy's very excited. So if that's what you're looking for, if that's what you're into, that's where you should go today. Yep, there it is. Maybe I can do a dramatic reading of his column and make you feel better.
You can't make me feel bad about him right now.
I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just bringing a dose of reality to it today. That's all.
I feel worse right now than I did at 10.
Yes, exactly.
I don't know why.
Well, no.
Because he's like,
that's what he wants, but I'm not letting you do it.
Mission accomplished.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't even have to play football if I don't want, bro. I don't even need the game. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to prove nothing to anyone. If they want to play, they're going to play by my rules. If not, I don't need to play.
You want the game now?
No, I don't. Obviously, I want the game, but I don't need the game. It's a different. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to play for no one. Like, I'm happy. You see this? It's paid off cash. I don't owe no one. Mm-hmm. I'm a millionaire, bro. I'm an entrepreneur. Like, I don't have to prove no one anything.
Antonio Brown was traded last night to the Buffalo Bills. And then he wasn't. It was reported to be a done deal. Ian Rappaport was reporting on the matter.
I wish him nothing but ill will. Like, I give me three teams that send his ass to because I want to see him explode on the sidelines because your quarterback blows. Buffalo's in the top three. If this would hey, guess what? You're going to leave Pittsburgh and go up to that bleep hole called Buffalo. I hate Buffalo. I can't stand Buffalo. It is like, it's dim. There's nothing good there. The city's dead. It'd be perfect for him. Send his ass there. Now all of a sudden he's calling the shots. You can't trade me. I thought you wanted out of Pittsburgh. Well, they found a way out. Now he doesn't want to go. This guy's a bitch. I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. He was the best receiver in the league. Best receiver was. And then something went wacky in his head this year.
The timeline for me and Rappaport, who you will hear from in a moment, is interesting. Last night, sources, the Steelers are closing in on a deal to send star receiver Antonio Brown to the Buffalo Bills. There it is. He then tweets it again. While several teams had leapt to the forefront, the Raiders, the Redskins, the Titans, the Bills were stealth. Come on. There's nothing stealthy about the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, they suck. So you just think, wow, they came out of nowhere.
There are things to work out, but Buffalo is on the way to getting Antonio Brown, and they do have a need at wide receiver. The Buffalo Bills have a need, I think, at every position on the field. He went on to say, from our breaking news segment in the wee hours of Friday morning, Bills are working on a deal, and then this morning, the deal was off. It's been called off. Here's Rap Sheet on NFL Network.
Yeah, just heard from the Buffalo Bills. They're now officially out on the Antonio Brown trade situation. We went from last night to being close on trade compensation to a deal being nearly there. Just wanted to clear that final hurdle. And then based on what the Bills heard late last night and again early this morning, they decided that it did not make sense for them to trade for Antonio Brown, and they are moving on. And, of course, the biggest question here is, would Antonio Brown have showed up had the Buffalo Bills traded for him? And ultimately, what they decided after some strong conversations is that it was not worth wondering, not worth the drama of, will Antonio Brown show up in Buffalo? Will he not? They are officially moving on, and now the Pittsburgh Steelers need to find another suitor if they're going to trade AB before the 2019 season.
And this is what it comes down to. Is Antonio Brown going to show up for a team? What made Buffalo think he wanted to go there?
Oh, when you're there, you think it's a rock-solid foundation.
Tom Pelissero had the tweet last night. As the Bills and Steelers close in on a trade for Antonio Brown, one big question remains. Will AB go? He has said he wants a new contract and won't play if it's not by his rules. If Brown wants to blow this up, his weapon is retirement rather than playing in Buffalo. And that appears to be the case.
Well, no, he's not going to show up. He's an entrepreneur now, too.
He doesn't have to retire. It's not a retirement threat. It's, yeah. I'm not showing up.
He makes videos now for $500. He'll wish you well on your birthday or happy anniversary and that. You know,
I don't even have to play football if I don't want, bro.
Good, yeah. So don't play.
And don't play. That's when you know you're done. This is sad. He was the best receiver in the league. I'd take Odell Beckham in a second over him. That guy's got issues. Now it's his rules? You're going to play by his? What are his rules?
I'm a millionaire, bro. I'm an entrepreneur.
Oh, God.
Who would want to welcome that in? That headache. Who wants to deal with this guy?
Buffalo.
Yeah. Redskins. Redskins would, but they're stupid.
Redskins,
owner.
Titans, and Raiders are the other three teams that were mentioned last night.
The Raiders are perfect.
I agree.
John Gruden off the wall.
Badass.
That fan base, that
Black
organization.
And silver, Vegas, all of it. Yep, I totally agree. Either you're going to get Derek, either their car's going to work out or you're going to find somebody to throw it. We're going to find out if Gruden's patience with Carr, how much that lasts this year. Because he's trying to culture change there. They've gotten rid of a lot of guys, and they got picks. They got picks to trade. They got a lot of picks. So they got collateral to trade.
So you took joy in this last night with him going to Buffalo.
I was ecstatic.
You wanted to see that happen.
I wanted to call games to watch him explode on the sidelines and throw helmets and kick things. He did it in Pittsburgh, and he was catching 10 balls a game. He was pissed when Juju would get 12, and he had 10. He can't deal with it. He can't deal with sharing the spotlight. Like, dude, your skills, you're the best in the game at what you do. Your separation, your ability to push away from defenders down the field, to catch the ball over your shoulder, to catch it on a slant, take it to the house, your return ability, everything. And you just peed it all away. That team was in the mix every year. Whether you like it or not, you would always say Pittsburgh's a contender this year. Pittsburgh's a contender this year. You don't have Bell. You don't have him now. They're not a contender anymore. They're not. I don't care if Ben comes back. I don't care if you have Juju. I don't care what else you have. You lose Bell and that guy off that offense, that kills them. Like, you had everything there. You had a fan base. You had people that loved you. You had a quarterback that actually would extend plays, take hits and play hurt to throw the ball 60 yards down the field to try and get it to you and force it to you. He force-fed him almost to get him in trouble. It's probably why Ben had half the problems with turnovers, trying to throw slants all the time down inside to him. Go play with a rookie. Go play with a second-year guy. Go play with a Garoppolo who hasn't played in, 16 games. Yeah, San Francisco supposedly is a spot, too, where he can land.
That's where he wants to go.
Yeah, good. Go.
That's where he tweeted out the picture of him in the 49ers uniform.
Yeah.
If I were any of these teams, I'd wait to see if he gets cut. That's what I would do. If you really do want him, I wouldn't give up anything to get him.
You think the Steelers would do that?
No. Well,
after Le'Veon Bell last? Do you think the Le'Veon Bell situation was a good thing for the Steelers to say, hey, good we can thing. Do this again? Or they're like, no, we're not doing this
no,
again.
No, it's a good thing. Connor came in and played well.
No, I could see them saying, we're not doing this again. We're not carrying this money on our cap. We're not doing all that.
So they wouldn't cut him for that reason?
I'm saying they would cut him because they don't want to go through carrying the guy on their roster
so
another full season.
So if I'm one of these other teams, I would just wait and see if it happens.
I'd trade him for a bag of dirt.
I wouldn't give up anything.
I'd trade. Send your ass somewhere. Send his ass to Washington. I'm trying to think. Who else is bad?
So I haven't seen anything on what the possible return was. Have you?
It's got to be a one.
But if they were sending him to the AFC, they would have had to have been offering better than other teams in the NFC probably,
correct.
Right?
Correct.
Correct, but I wouldn't give up anything for him. I'd be like, no, because to get him there, to get him to agree to show up, you got to give him more money, you got to guarantee his money. What? No, I'm not doing that. If he's free agent, we'll talk.
The Raiders have a pick in the 20s they got for Khalil Mack. If you can say we traded Khalil Mack for Antonio Brown and a one, that sounds better than two ones.
Yeah, but then
But
then you have to negotiate with him to get a new deal done, too.
Right.
And he wants free agent level money to show up.
He wants fully guaranteed contracts.
What's the point of giving that up?
He wants Kirk Cousins.
The Raiders have nobody. Yeah. They have no talent right now.
Yeah.
They need somebody.
617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls coming up on the Bruins. Antonio Brown almost traded last night. He was in Buffalo for like 6 hours. He was a Bill overnight. Can you imagine going to bed last night being a Buffalo Bills fan, though? Thinking Antonio
so
Brown
great.
Was coming?
It's so great
it's
for
like
Bills
the Aginla traded to the Bruins that night. We went to bed thinking he was traded to the Bruins and woke up knowing he wasn't.
That's and right. There was another NFL trade last night. Thoughts on that from Zoe next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind.
follower. Fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder.
Jim? Fun Friday. Perk Beetle up.
Can't wait till we get a Yacht Rock Friday at some point here.
What?
I know.
Can't wait till we get a Yacht Rock Friday weather-wise.
Yeah, yeah, a couple weeks for that, pal. Oh, we could still do it. Get excited.
It's a little cold for that.
Yeah,
a little cold.
You thinking about it.
Broncos made a trade last night.
Yep.
Case Keenum to the Redskins.
Super big win for the Redskins here.
Case Keenum goes to the Redskins for a sixth-round pick in the 2020 draft. So sad.
Moron L.A.
That is so
sad.
What
a moron L.A. is.
This, according to Adam Schefter, he first had it. Washington will also get a 2027th rounder from Denver. Wow, that's exciting.
You remember when Elway was the Don?
They swapped sixth and seventh-round picks and threw in a quarterback.
Yeah. Remember when Elway was the Don? Remember, he could do nothing wrong and just
Felger was wrong about that.
Just give Peyton Manning all the money he wants and then just let it all fall apart. And then he was actually going to go all in on Osweiler, too. Luckily, Houston came in and gave him more money, took him away from you. And then you trade for Joe Flacco. See, that's a head scratcher for me. How's Flacco better than Case Keenum?
And drafting Paxton Lynch, too, in the middle of that.
He sucks. Who called that one, Jim?
He has a thing for tall, skinny quarterbacks.
Do you remember who called that one? That douche. Paxton Lynch with the long hair, flipping his hair at his workouts, floating the ball against air.
No, but really, at what point do we say that maybe John Elway's not very good at his job?
We're getting there.
I think he just looks at the height chart and says, oh, Osweiler's 6'7". Paxton Lynch is 6'7". Joe Flacco's 6'6". Maybe it'll work at some point.
I mean, Flacco at least has played. I don't see, if you kind of flatline it, and you could be sort of the same, and you're going to be pretty much win the same type of games, put up the same type of numbers. Why make the move? Why not just whack it and just go and draft a guy or get in again on a young guy and try and groom him and turn it over to him? It makes no sense. It makes no sense to go from Keenum to Flacco because you got to look for the next guy.
Do you know what it sounds like? Do you know what it feels like when you have a move where you go for a guy like Joe Flacco over drafting somebody? And I don't know if this is true, and I know that John Elway is a legend there. It feels like he's running out of time. That's the type of move that a GM makes when he's worried about he doesn't have enough time to prove that he's worth it before someone figures out that he's not very good and they fire him.
Well, then you go get Antonio Brown and you maybe get a little bit of a better quarterback. That's panic. See, I don't look at Flacco as a panic move. Like, uh-oh. I just think, what are you doing?
Okay, hold on, though. So what do you think John Elway believes Joe Flacco is capable of?
Throwing moon rockets in Denver. Like, he was there when what was that fourth down where he threw that deep?
Is it about the thin air? Is that
like,
what it is?
I don't know. Coors Field, like home runs? Maybe that could help him. Okay. Like, we could go deep. You got Manny Sanders back?
No, he's making a trade for Joe Flacco because he believes Joe Flacco can really play.
I know. I think he wants to go downfield. See, Keenum can't go downfield. Keenum's more of a dink and dunk type guy and a possession type guy. See, if you're the Redskins, Alex Smith, you're going to be lucky if he ever walks right or plays again. So you're on the hook $70 million there.
Now,
you have Colt McCoy.
Don't you think that Elway believes if he brings in Flacco and he puts a decent enough team around him that they could be a Super Bowl contender? Like, that's how I look at him and I go, this guy thinks bringing in Joe Flacco, he could get to the Super Bowl with him.
The problem is that the defense of 4 years ago is gone and you don't have the defensive coordinator.
No kidding.
You should have just kept Wade Phillips. You should have kept Wade Phillips as your head coach.
They will be better.
I don't know. Fangio was pretty good in Chicago. He might be able to do something with that defense.
Oh, God. You say Vic Fangio. It's, I think, of Breer. It's all he talks about.
They have Von Miller and Bradley Chubb off the edge. I mean, that's a good start.
Yep.
Who do they have in the secondary?
Chris Harris and a bunch of guys.
Chris Harris is a free agent. Oh, no. Bradley Roby's a free agent. Chris Harris got hurt at the end of last year.
Roby's okay. He ain't great. Roby could barely get on the field as a safety when he was there. Back when, what was that?
Well, no. He started once they traded Tlaib.
Right.
He's the slot corner that bumped outside when Tlaib got shipped out.
It's good for the Redskins because
so I think Chris Harris is what they have.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They used to have linebackers that could run too. They had the Danny Trevathans of the world and all that. And then, you know, those guys are all gone.
I think he looks at Joe Flacco and thinks.
Yeah, Malik Jackson.
Okay, we're going to get the last few good years out of Joe Flacco the same way we squeezed every last drop out of Peyton Manning. Not to say that Flacco is Manning, okay? I'm not suggesting.
God, that defense was
stacked. I'm just saying he looks at Joe Flacco as a guy who's won a Super Bowl and thinks he could do it again. Thinks he can catch lightning in a bottle at the end of his career.
Their O-line should be decent.
Or or he thinks we can get to double-digit wins with Joe Flacco, and that will be enough to keep my job for a couple of years until I figure out who the guy is actually going to be.
I don't think he's in jeopardy losing his job. Bolins love him.
Well, that's what I question.
Yeah, I don't know the whole.
They have sort of a messy ownership situation.
I don't know the whole family ownership dynamic right now in Denver. Right. I know that that's sort of been, I think that's been a contentious situation there. I'm not totally sure of the details. But maybe at some point they say, you know what? We love John Elway. You know, he's means so much to the Broncos, but we're going to go and get some experienced football front office types to come in here and run this thing.
See, the problem is, too, and then you're on the hook for $500,000 to even renegotiate the guy's contract. So you're giving Case Keenum, Denver had to give him $500,000 to renegotiate the contract, and then they had to pick up $3.5 million of the contract.
Well, do you see this cap? It was like $21
million. Yeah, that clown.
Boy, that just speaks to Elway. Elway, you had Case Keenum on your books for $21 million going into next year.
Look how weird that looks.
You're not good at this.
Look how weird this looks. Flacco with the horse head. That looks like Shannon Sharp, too, by the way.
In all seriousness, does Case Keenum beat out Colt McCoy in Washington? I think that's a toss-up.
He should beat out Colt McCoy.
I don't know. That's a toss-up,
I think. He should beat out Colt McCoy. Colt McCoy's not very good.
Colt McCoy knows that offense inside and out, though.
I feel bad for Washington on some level, having Alex Smith and losing him the way
they
did. He
should have never went to Alex Smith.
I agree with that. But Alex Smith is not garbage. I mean, he's just not.
For a Patriots angle,
he's just not elite.
Does that take out Washington as a destination for Josh Rosen now that they made this trade?
Why are you so in on this Rosen?
It shouldn't.
You really think Patriots are interested in Rosen?
It shouldn't take them out of that. I mean, Case Keenum's not a long-term solution.
Anytime quarterbacks move in the NFL now, you have to look at it with a Patriots point of view because they need the next guy.
Jim, if I
somehow
ask you...
Somehow they need to get the next guy. Okay. I'm not saying it's Rosen, but maybe the trickle-down effect means
Rosen
they can draft
somebody.
Rosen was so
good, somebody. You'd be flipping it for a two
Jim,
or a one.
Let me put it to you this way. You believe the Patriots could be in on Josh Rosen, right? Hypothetically. Not knowing whether they are or they not, right?
Yeah, if they
hypothetically, they could be in.
I don't know if they like him or don't like him as a player.
Okay,
they should be in on him if they like him.
You believe that they should be in on young quarterbacks right now to prepare for the next guy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, who has a more stable quarterback situation right now for the next, let's say, 2 years? The New England Patriots or the Washington Redskins? It's the Patriots.
Yeah,
so
Patriots,
of course that doesn't eliminate Washington. That wouldn't eliminate them.
I think Patriots are content with what they have for at least another year. I don't think they're may even make. I don't think they're
great,
bringing.
But that's
in a
different
guy.
Thing. That's a. Oh, you mean
really?
Because they're content? Where'd you hear that?
I think there's an extension from Brady coming down the road.
I've heard Twitter rumors on that.
The talk of how much Brian Hoyer helped at the end of the year, and I know you're not a Hoyer guy, but just you're dead in water. Regardless,
don't say Danny Etling. Don't.
No. Nope. They're going to keep developing Etling, and he's been traveling.
We've talked
with the
about
team.
This though. You can have a third quarterback.
I see things.
I went over the list with you a couple of weeks ago. Of all the times they had three quarterbacks on their roster going back 10-plus seasons.
It's not like Elway where it's kind of your head.
Okay,
time.
But I'm saying you can get another quarterback and still have Brian Hoyer for his scouting purposes and for his smarts and for everything he provides the team off the field because I don't like it when he's on the field. I like Brian Hoyer, the coach. I don't love Brian Hoyer, the quarterback.
Do you want
scout team Brian Hoyer?
Scout team Brian Hoyer is awesome.
So do you want Brady, Brian Hoyer, Danny Etling, and a third-round pick you could use on a linebacker, or do you want Brian Hoyer, give up that third for Rosen, and you got Rosen, and no linebacker? See, that's the way you look at it.
I think if they go trade for Rosen, that means they like him and they identified him as the next guy, though. Any guy they go after, I think they view as that's the next guy.
So a third-round pick, who cares?
You can find guys in a third round. I'm sorry.
Come on. Third round, you're worried about a third round pick? They've got three of them this year, do they not?
Yeah, but Zoe said the other day, if the third round was there and they could get Josh Rosen for it, he would rather take Will Grier over trading for Josh Rosen.
I agree with him on that.
Yeah.
But either way, you're spending a third round pick on a quarterback and not a linebacker, which is Zoe's point.
And there's a reason that Rosen's ticked down to third round status, former number one pick.
I wouldn't care if they spent a third round pick on Will Grier. I wouldn't care if they spent a third round pick on Josh Rosen.
I think the biggest news out of the segment is Zoe doesn't think they're making a move this year at quarterback.
I don't.
At all.
Mm. I think they're building around a quarterback.
But can't they do both?
Kind of. I think you waste a pick. If you value the guy, I mean, if you're going fourth or fifth round, that's just...
Stick with third. That was the number we threw
out. Then I want him to... If one of those guys falls there, I want him to take a Will Grier type. Yeah.
So,
I want Josh Rosen.
So that's doing the opposite of what you said you think will happen. And will be what I just said, which is you can still do both. You can still build around Brady, re-up Brady, get him his new contract, and draft another guy. You could do both. I just don't want them spending first or second round picks on that right now.
Okay.
Because I think, to go back to what you said, You want another linebacker? You want another set? You know, name any position on the field. You want a new defensive lineman?
Corner.
Right?
Corner.
Whatever. Yeah. Whatever it is. Wherever you think that they could get you some help. I don't really corner. They've kind of set a corner, aren't they?
Yeah, somewhat. You always use another corner. Find another guy there.
I mean, we're going to see Duke Dawson at some point, right?
That's right.
Maybe.
Hopefully. Derek Rivers. You got all
the mysterious Duke Dawson.
You got all these second-round picks you haven't seen yet. Derek Rivers, Duke Dawson.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.